Next on BYUSN, A.J. DeBonsa shined in the McDonald's All-American game last night. What did we like from what we saw, and how does that translate to BYU next season? BYU quarterback Jake Retzlaff says he wants to be a Heisman finalist this season. If he is, how will that affect BYU football in 2025?
Speaking of Jake, he breaks down where BYU football improved over spring practice and how he's perfecting his craft in the offseason. And Delaney Gibb and Mariah Hudgens, BYU women's basketball, join the show to share their excitement about playing for new head coach Lee Kumard next season.
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Today is Wednesday, April 2nd. My name is Jason Shepherd. He is a man who loves the quote, "If it's free, it's for me, and I'll take three," Mr. Dave McCann.
Originally spoken by the great Elder Vi Sikahema
yes.
Back in the day when he was just Vi playing football at BYU. If it's free, it's for me, and I'll take three. So that's the theme at Coastal Carolina. Let's show you this tweet,
actually.
This announcement from early in the week. So it wasn't an April Fool's joke. Joe Pompliano, Coastal Carolina announcing concessions will be free at their home football games. All of them. Fans can get four items per concession visit. Hot dogs, nachos, popcorn, fountain drinks. No limit on the number of in-game visits. Now we thought, well, would this ever happen here at BYU? And one, no, because they make way too much money on concessions. But it goes back to the concept that we found very challenging in our youth. Halloween night, you come up to a door, there's a basket of candy mm-hmm. and a note that says, just take one.
You're asking for trouble.
We're not ready
point.
For that kind of challenge
no.
Early in the night where you're just staring like, do they mean one? Or can we just keep coming back until they're gone?
Yeah. Look, we can say these. It's like you can make fun of your own because you're part of it.
Right.
The outsiders can't make fun of us. We can make fun of ourselves, okay?
You think there'll be some hoarding?
There's not a chance in the world this would happen because we as a people would absolutely find a way to take advantage of this situation.
Can you imagine 60,000 Cougar tails going out in the first quarter and then they're coming back in the second quarter?
Four items per person.
Yeah. And you can visit as often as you like.
But so each time you go up, you can get four new items.
Man. The McCanns would wipe that place
Look,
out.
Look, how bad does Coastal Carolina want people if they're willing to eat that much money?
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, don't expect that at LaBelle Edwards Stadium.
That screams desperation.
Yeah, it does.
But for the fan, it's fantastic.
It's unbelievable. It's very cool. We would absolutely find a loophole to just take advantage of that like nobody's business. All right, all rise and shout. It's time for What's Trending.
There's no underestimating just how significant of a pickup this is for Kevin Young in this BYU program.
Generational. This guy's being compared to LeBron James out of high school.
It's just exciting to be there next March or next April.
No, this is the golden era.
Well, in another high-profile game, A.J. DeBonsa highlighted in last night's McDonald's All-American game, scoring 17 points. He had 5 rebounds, helping lead the West team to a 105-92 win over the East. It's always fun to see A.J. DeBonsa in these games and getting center stage because not only does he get center stage, but it always comes back around to where he's going to play next year, and we know that's BYU. What did you like about what you saw from A.J. last night, and how does that translate to BYU?
For me, it was kind of the start of his BYU career last night. I mean, the first graphic on ESPN right at the start of the game is Royal Blue, and it's A.J., and it's BYU, and he's the number one recruit, and it's right there. And he's going to be in school here later this month and then have some Team USA stuff in the summer and then back. And it's all happening, right? It's all been a really crazy idea right up until last night where it's he's coming. And up against the best five stars, his peers, 17 points. It was a catch and shoot kind of game where everyone caught it and shot it.
Right.
And so I envisioned, and we're watching some of the practice footage from back at the McDonald's. We don't have the TV rights to show you highlights from the game, so that's why we're showing you this. But as I was watching it, I was envisioning, okay, AJ with Yegor and Richie and Kaba and Dawson and Dallin and everyone else who's coming back in the new positions running an offense. And I thought, what impact is he going to have on BYU running an offense? And that's where you smile a lot and go, immense. And that's what I saw last night as he was running around. in this game. First time in 25 years BYU's had a McDonald's All-American in that game, but he wasn't the star 25 years ago. Yeah. This was the guy coming this way, and it was 2 hours of it.
Well, and that's one of the things that I just love this situation, because it is something that's unprecedented with BYU, and we're not used to seeing this. And so every time you see him and you know that BYU is going to be part of the discussion on this broadcast, it's exciting because of the notoriety that BYU is getting and the notoriety that the coaching staff is getting for this program because of the hard work they put in to be able to land a player like that. And look, you're talking about an All-American game. The McDonald's All-American game is full of, obviously, McDonald's All-Americans. So it's essentially an All-Star game. And so for you to have that many guys who are out there to showcase their own skills, it's just like an All-Star game. For him to be able to come out and perform the way he did and shine like he always does, it just bodes well for what he's going to be able to do with this team. And he's already talked about how he's excited to play with guys that are on the roster and making his pitch for Richie Saunders to make sure he comes back and all these guys and Yegor. So he already knows what he can bring, but he also knows what the other guys bring and what they could do together. And I love it he's taking that approach. Yes, he's going to, in all likelihood, be the number one or the number two pick in the upcoming NBA draft next, you know, a year from now. But he's thinking about how this is going to affect the team. That's awesome.
Here's something else I was thinking watching this game. It was a two-hour infomercial for Kevin Young. And they talked about him through the whole thing. And they talked about the other players, too, but it always seemed to come back to AJ. And I'm thinking there are 1,000 kids in the portal as we speak. 1,000 kids. We haven't had the Final Four yet. They're all watching that game, right? Because that game and those players impact where all those kids think they can go. And so they're watching AJ. They're hearing about BYU for 2 hours, and BYU has like four or five spots to fill. And I sat there and I thought, what impact will this have? It's priceless. How priceless was it for Kevin Young last night?
Oh, it's you can't pay for a commercial like that. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like that's the kind of stuff that you dream about, is people talking about your program and the talent that you're bringing in. And look, it's year one. We're just completing that. In fact, we're coming up on the year mark of Kevin Young's hire this month. I think it's in about 2 weeks.
Yeah, as a year ago today, he's just getting ready for the playoffs.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So we're coming up on the year, but you look at what he and the coaching staff and this team were able to accomplish. And obviously, AJ committed several months ago, you know, once in the season. So it's not like that part of it's new. But you could not have asked for a better time for BYU to have the season that they did, to bring in the people that they did, and to go to the Sweet 16. You combine the run that they went on in the Big 12, the fact that they were able to become one of the teams that people talked about in the NCAA tournament, and then on top of it, you have the added benefit of being able to talk about the number one recruit in the country. Adding to that program, the timing of it could not have been better.
I'm sure Justin Young's phone's blowing up this morning from reps of kids who want to come play here.
Yeah.
And the fact that there's a few spots, it makes it great because you can listen to all of them.
Yeah.
And you can pick from the best of them. And BYU's got a competitive NIL program, and so it's not like, oh, yeah, that's just not going to work out. It's like, no, let's go get the best that can fit here. And they're driving the horse here.
Well, the other part about this is, you know how talented AJ is, but there's so much talk about, ultimately, yes, there's obviously a financial aspect to this, and that's just the way college sports are these days. But the reason that BYU was able to get him was because he felt comfortable here.
Yeah.
You can't fake that. You either feel comfortable in a place or you don't. That you feel comfortable in these surroundings with your teammates and everything that you're going to be dealing with on a day-to-day basis, or you don't. That and only AJ can be the one that makes that determination. And for him to say, when I came on campus and I met with these coaches and I met with the players and found out what they want to do, not just with me, but with this team moving
and
forward.
And his BYU TV tour.
And his BYU TV tour, yes. I felt comfortable.
Yeah.
That right there is a perfect, you know, indication of what's important to him.
Makes him a salesman.
Yes.
to other kids, you know, because he didn't come for the money.
Right. That was going to be there for him wherever he
exactly,
went.
Exactly, yeah. He didn't come for free. That was going to be the same. So I agree with your point. So when a kid comes and talks to him and says, AJ, why'd you pick BYU? He can give him the 20 reasons. Number one, I want to go to the NBA.
Yep.
And 1A is Kevin Young, and then it just goes from there. And his BYU tour is probably, you know, like 18th. But that's in the top 20. That's in the top 20.
Oh, it's top 20, of course.
He just becomes a lightning rod now. Yeah. And so then the question becomes, is it going to be AJ's 1 year impact on the program, or is it all the kids that are going to come after AJ to sustain the program as a top 10 program and an elite 8 contender moving forward? And we get to sit here and watch that.
Yeah.
I think the answer is yes. Both big next year, but even bigger as kids come after him. As we've seen in football, you get to a level and you're great, but then greater players come because you came. And then that's how you contend with the best.
Well, one of the things that's still up in the air is what the roster, yeah, when it's final, is going to look like. Because obviously BYU is interested in guys that are in the portal. You've got guys that will be coming into the program, you know, this upcoming season.
And they're interested in their current guys.
Correct. And there are a lot of guys. So let's just go over just sort of a roster construction right now. Obviously, we know that there are certain players who are on their way out who will not be on the roster next year. Obviously, players like Trevin Nell and Foos and Mawat Mag, Trey Stewart, those guys we know will be on their way out and not on the roster next year. Cannon Catchings is in the portal right now. Elijah Crawford entered the transfer portal. So their status is somewhat up in the air. Players coming in, AJ, Xavion Stanton.
Here's about the thing about Stanton is they had a graphic in that game,
yep,
of the top centers in coming out of high school, and they listed the top, yep, five, and he's in there.
Yeah.
So even though while it's the AJ show, yes, and they go, here are all these centers, yep, there's another one.
Yeah, with Stanton coming in, we know how good he is.
Yeah.
He brings that low post.
Great potential.
I mean, just unbelievable athleticism. We talk about players that have decisions to make. Obviously, still waiting to find out what Yegor Demin is going to do. He obviously is going to have an opportunity to play in the NBA. And so here, the thing you got to remember, though, is someone can declare for the NBA draft, and then there is a time frame
where
you can go to the combine, you can do all these things, and still decide to come back.
I think June 16th is the deadline.
So you've got some time. So even if he and Richie Saunders say, you know what, we're going to test ourselves and see how we stack up in the NBA.
And they should.
Yeah.
But
it doesn't mean that they're gone.
No.
So you have all these things that are still somewhat up in the air before you actually know the full roster that's going to be around AJ and Xavion. But you can start to get an idea of the type of players in 1 year that this coaching staff brought in and what they want to continue to bring into this program.
The great thing are they have choices,
yes,
choices to make. And the choices to make are, should I stay, like the Clash song, should I stay,
yeah,
or should I go?
Right.
Should I stay or go to the NBA draft? That's the choice, as opposed to, I'm going to leave BYU and go somewhere else. That's not the choice for these A-listers on this team. And you know what? That puts BYU in a good spot. You go into the league, you're going to stay here.
Right.
You know, because everyone that wants to come here wants to go to the league. And to have two guys have that decision to make, it's fantastic. Well, now, you don't want to lose either one of them.
Sure.
But if you do, this is why they came. And there'll be others that come here for the same reason.
Yeah, it is a good problem to have.
Yeah.
You hear.
You got other schools who just lost their whole roster. That's a bad,
right,
problem.
Right. Well, you hear this like in the coaching profession from head coaches. I want to hire guys that ultimately I'm going to need to replace because they've been so good for us that they get their own jobs. Yeah. Like, it's the way it works. If you get good players, if you get good coaches, and then they perform, they're going to have other opportunities. But it then kind of creates this factory, and we saw this with Lavelle Edwards when he started his tenure as,
sure,
BYU
we'll
football
see it
head
with
coach.
Andy Reid.
Absolutely. So, yeah, it's what an exciting time,
oh, yeah,
this is.
And last
for
night I thought
athletics
was just the – it was the cherry on the top of,
yep,
what we've been watching and the foreshadowing of the circus that's coming to town.
Amen to that. All right, our question of the day is this. Where will AJ DeBonsa impact BYU basketball the most? Our first chiming in on X, APD222, the impact on his teammates. He's the type of player that will command so much attention that guys like Richie Saunders will be open more often and become more deadly.
At DeBonsa Clips on X, more attention from the national media. Of course.
Yeah.
I mean, the season opener on opening night of the whole season is in Vegas at T-Mobile against Villanova on November 3rd. That's how it's going to start.
Well, and hey, let's also not forget, you're probably going to have fewer ESPN Plus games.
Yeah.
You're going to be on more of the ESPN networks, ESPN, ESPN Plus, ESPNU, because of A.J. DeBonsa. You're going to want to put as many eyes on those games as you possibly can. Yeah.
You might be in the top 10 to start the season, especially if Yegor comes back.
Absolutely.
And hey, we just haven't been there.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun.
All right, that's our question of the day. Continue to weigh in on X, Facebook, and Instagram.
Let's switch to football for a moment. Earlier this week, a handful of BYU players were made available to the media, kind of a quick media day post-spring get-together. Jake Retzlaff was in that group, and he went around all the reporters. Here's a quote from Kevin Reynolds' story in the Salt Lake Tribune. I want to be at the Heisman ceremony, not back there with a seat. You know, he wants to be in it. That's my goal personally. I don't think my ability is going to hold me back from that. I think the caliber player who can be there in New York, that's going to start with success on the field as a team. That's what it really comes down to, is making sure I'm the best quarterback for this team. Mentioned he wants to throw for over 30 touchdowns and single-digit interceptions this season. Would be certainly better than last season. It would just be on track to how senior quarterbacks perform at BYU as they come through the system.
Yeah.
And he's now coming through the system. But if he's a Heisman finalist, what does that mean about the kind of fall we just had?
Well, it means that we should probably get used to a lot of wins. Just like last year.
Yeah.
Look, if you want to take it even a little bit further, it probably means for the offense, you're a top 25 offense. If he's throwing 30 touchdowns and single-digit interceptions, we saw what he was able to do with this team last year. You have over 80% of the offensive production coming back this season, and you're adding to it with some pretty big transfer portal additions. Right. You talk about an offense to be feared. That's what this would be if he's putting himself in the conversation. Look, there were only two quarterbacks last year that were Heisman finalists. One was Cam Ward, who's going to likely be the number one pick in the NFL draft, and Dylan Gabriel at Oregon. So, I mean, you look at the numbers that they put up this year, and, I mean, just look, compare that to what Jake Retzlaff did, you know, this last year. You know, you're talking about, you know, for Gabriel, another 1,000 passing yards, for Ward, even more than that, completion percentage making a significant jump. But if he's putting up percentages and yards and numbers like that, good luck trying to stop this BYU offense.
If he is in the Heisman discussion, they will be an 11-12 win type team, because it will mean that the offense has caught up to the defense. And the defense set the standard last year. I think of that bowl game. Jake didn't play great in that bowl game, and BYU won 36-14. And the defense is almost all back. There's a lot of hype about that defensive group. If the offense can meet the defense at the standard of where the defense currently is and where they're projected to be, then it's a tremendous season. You got to have some breaks along the way, and BYU got plenty of them last year. I don't know if they'll go 12, 10, what, but you're in the mix to contend for the Big 12 championship. You're in the big games. You're in the college football playoff if he's a Heisman contender. Now, it's not easy to be a Heisman contender.
No.
We haven't had one for a long time. And we just had the one winner,
right?
With Ty. And that took beating the number one team to kind of knock that into gear. But the momentum, I love that he didn't play great against Colorado, because that has fueled his offseason and will continue to do so. We're going to hear from him in a minute. But Austin Colley said earlier this week, the confidence and the hype that he got coming out of last season, coming into this season, he said, you can't underestimate what that does to a player. And Austin knows, because he went through it. He expects Jake to emerge as the leader of this team like never before, and lead the way based on the attention he's receiving from his last season, of which he knows he can be so much better.
Well, look at the progression he made from those last four starts he made in his first year.
Yeah, as a newbie.
Yeah.
And then a regular.
And then what he did last season.
Yeah.
And to think, first of all, whether you think it's realistic or not for him, I love the fact that he's going in with that mindset.
It's totally realistic. You're in a power conference.
So, but there will be like, oh, come on. And he believes he can do this. And I'm not going to put anything, say that he can't do it. I'm not going to take anything off the table for
him. Anybody who went 11-2 can say what he wants.
Yeah.
And go, well, we went 11-2, and I think I can be better.
And he has the weapons around him to be able to put himself in this conversation. Yeah. We harp on this all the time, but I still don't think it gets talked about how important it is, the amount of production that is coming back, that they do not have to go through making sure guys are in the right spot and teaching all these guys this new scheme. They know what they're doing, and game one can be locked in.
Like, defense wins championships. Could defense also win a Heisman? BYU's defense can help elevate BYU's 100%. Offense on nationally TV and all that stuff, and Jake can be right there in New York. Now, it's up to him.
Yep.
But it's not, hey, you're in a league where you have to win every game by 60 points so people even know you're playing.
Right.
Right? We've been there before.
Not an independent anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. This is, I love it. Shoot for the best. Why not?
Absolutely. Nothing wrong with it at all.
Speaking of shooting for the best, gymnastics team has a big one this afternoon in the first round of the NCAA tournament. This is like a play-in game. It's BYU and Utah State, 4 Eastern on ESPN+. Win in advance. That's all that matters. Win in advance.
All right, after the break, we were just talking about him. You'll hear from BYU quarterback Jake Retzlaff about where BYU got better this spring, who the spring MVP was, and how he is perfecting his craft. That's next.
We love these young men. We love what they give us.
So I got to find ways to push myself without being in a competition, and that's always to beat the defense.
He's a great competitor, and he is without question the leader of our offense.
I've been really pleased with the way Jake's progressed this spring. I do like that everybody's understanding the scheme a lot more.
We are live in Studio B with your day-to-day BYU sports play-by-play. I'm Jason Shepherd. Well, BYU football won 11 games last year thanks in part to the play of quarterback Jake Retzlaff. Earlier this week, our own Spencer Linton caught up with Jake Retzlaff about what BYU's motivation is this offseason, how he is improving, and where the team improved the most this spring. Here is Spencer's one-on-one with Cougar quarterback Jake Retzlaff.
Jake, for those that did not experience the glory of the alumni flag football game and everything that went on in that broadcast, what did they miss?
So much. It was unbelievable. It was so sick to be able to. I remember that when Brett asked me, he's like, hey, would you be down to do some sideline interview stuff? I was like, yeah, sure. Well, that'd be fun to hang out with the guys and just spew a bunch of crap at them and get them going and stuff like that. It was so fun. I mean, I love Blaine. Shout out Blaine, man. Messing with him is always fun. He's such a great dude. Just a dude who like took me in from the beginning, being a quarterback, you know, at BYU in the past, and being a guy who's around the program in the media space, stuff like that. Be able to, you know, get to have a good connection with him was. I definitely cashed in on that on Friday. Got to go at him a little bit, but it was so fun. The energy was incredible. The guys were so fun to be around. Just all those guys coming back here. I said at the end, I was like, wish we did this twice a year because it's fun. Those guys, the energy they bring, it's exciting, and to talk about them and to know the lore behind a lot of those guys' career and just watch them ball out. Some of them from the recent days and they're still jumping out of the roof, and then some of them from the older days and they're throwing the ball maybe not as well as they used to.
But what's it like to, with an unfiltered aspect, critique other quarterback play?
You know, with the alumni game, it's all love. So, like, I'll get on them a little bit and they'll fire right back, you know, but it's just the positive vibe to the whole thing make it so fun to get on guys and stuff like that, and like when it comes to real quarterback play, man, it's hard, and they know it's hard, and I like to be able to kind of mock the fans in a way. This is what they say about quarterbacks, and whether they know it or not, it's a little bit of a mockery of the fans.
You mentioned the energy around that game and around the entire BYU football program right now. How would you explain what is happening there?
It's incredible. Just the pursuit of greatness and the way that we go about it is different. I've had the opportunity to invite a bunch of people into this building, and it was actually a Jewish group from Israel, live in Israel, and I just talked about our culture. I was like, yeah, it's hard to explain to people. It's like, Yeah, we're actually a lot different than most other places in the country. We do it 100% different, and that's why we do it well. And so the buy-in from the guys is the key thing, and getting to know your guys, getting that true leadership from the top down, being able to, you know, get mentored by a guy like Coach Kalani and Coach A-Rod, and then be able to take the pieces and the bits of knowledge and try to relay that to our guys, you know what I mean, along the team as a quarterback. I'm obviously a leader of the offense, and so to be able to relay the messages that A-Rod's relaying to me, it's just the – to be so synonymous with each other, it's just special. It's so special, and to be able to see that translate to play on the field is so rewarding and so fun.
Where did BYU get better over the course of spring football, in your opinion?
Where didn't it get better, honestly? Like, it was super fun to see. Now, unfortunately, we had a couple injuries at receiver, but it was fun to see those young guys like, hey, this is your opportunity today. You're going to get reps with the ones that where you might not have, if, you know, Chase and these guys are also healthy. And so to be able to watch those guys step up, I mean, offensive line was another position where, you know, Waylon's not going this spring. Andrew Gentry's not going this spring. Some other guys getting banged up here and there. It's like, all right, who's next? Step up. And so it's super fun to see these young guys, like, come into their own and start playing with that confidence. And I love getting with them and talking about what we're doing on each play and over-communicating with them and being able to see that they get it. You know what I mean? You know when a guy on the field, his demeanor and the way he's looking, you know if he gets it. And so it's fun to see those young guys start to get it and be able to encourage those guys to keep developing and watch it happen up front. And Coach TJ Woods has just put his fingerprints all over that O-line from the very top to the very bottom, from making Bruce a heck of a center in 1 year, doing it in the second year, and also with a young freshman coming in like Andrew Williams, who was taking reps with the ones.
Yeah, let's talk about that offensive line, because there was some understandable concern about losing some big pieces. So how do you feel about the state of the offensive line overall?
Well, I mean, Bruce is obviously running it up there in the middle. He's been extraordinary the way he's just, you know, it was cool to watch Connor kind of teach him when Connor got hurt, to teach him the mental side of the game, the ins and outs, the mental side. That's what Connor was really good at. And so to be able to teach Bruce all that, and now Bruce takes that to the next level. His level of understanding of what's going on is awesome. Me and him watched film a bunch this spring together after practice. We'd go up and watch it before we went home. And so be able to see his understandings of the whole thing just take off. Waylon leads no matter what, if he's on the field or off. And so to watch him, he's so hyper-involved with practice no matter what. He can't help it. Waylon's one of those guys that just has an itch for this game of football like me. And so it's fun to see him teaching the other guys what's going on in the field and itching. I was like, it was the last week of practice. I was like, Waylon, what do you say? You just throw the pads on for Friday. He's like, I'll do it. Right now, I'll do it. And I'm like, I don't doubt that he'll do it. And thankfully, he didn't. But, you know, the guys like that and just teaching, and Isaiah Jada is taking big steps. And he's one of the smartest O-linemen I've ever played with. I've never, you know, I don't think I've seen a guy get it as fast as Jada got it. I think him and Bruce were the two fastest I've ever seen really understand what's going on, because Bruce in 1 year was starting at O-line for injuries, and Jada played late in the year, right? Started games late in the year after that Utah game. And so it's super fun to see all these guys develop, man. It's just, I love watching the growth and the unity in the guys. And I'm excited for this summer and fall camp to get that starting O-line on the field, because, you know, we don't know who it is right now. But that's also because of the injuries. So the battle hasn't necessarily happened. But, you know, wherever you pencil it, the starting group hasn't been on the field together, especially because Waylon has been out. And so it's going to be fun to see that final group together and watch how they roll.
What has you most excited about next year's BYU offense?
It's just another year of continuity. You know what I mean? It's Coach Wood's second year, Coach Gilbride's second year. And so just all these guys being secure in their spots and not, you know, head spinning, trying to figure the offense out as well as the guys that are teaching the offense to. You know what I mean? It's knowing it. The continuity is just such a big deal because of the belief in each other and the way you know your team now. Like, you know the team more, and the more you know something, the more you can believe in it, the more you can trust it, and the more you can teach it, and the more you can address it. And so to be able to have that ownership where every single coach in this offense has ownership of their guys, ownership of this offense. And so we take pride in when it's going good, and we take pride in being able to fix problems and move on. And so just that's going to be super fun. I think that, you know, I get the continuity of coming back as a starter. You know what I mean? This is my first time in offseason not competing for a starting job. And so, you know, I've tried to, you know, I still got have the foot up my backside with Coach A-Rod and Coach Matt. They know how to level that thing in there. But at the same time, like, it's good to be taking all the one reps with Bruce and be able to keep that continuity right with the receivers and whatnot. And I can't wait to get, you know, Chase coming off of injury. And like I said, AG coming off injury, Waylon coming off injury, like all these guys coming off, like, to get healthy for this, you know, summer. And I'll tell you what, it'd be nice to have a little bit of a break. We had 1 week off after the bowl game before we had to be back. But it'd be nice to have this little break and, you know, maybe hang out with the guys and just get it all together. But there's not much new faces. And if there is, those new faces are well-matured guys, well-seasoned. You know, a guy like Andrew Gentry, who's seen a lot of football in his day. You know, Kyle, who's seen a lot of football in his day. Svarchik. And so it's like, it's cool to have these guys in the building who have seen it all. And I'm just talking about the line, but, you know, every position. I mean, our running back room is, I can confidently say our running back room is the top running back room in the country. Just the depth and the way these guys play ball is unbelievable. Their understanding of it, to be able to, like, put multiple of those guys in the game, go 20 personnel. We went 30 personnel once or twice last year. And so we can do that. And it's super fun to see. And yeah, I mean, I could just name them all, but I'd take up too much of your time.
I love the breakdown right there and excited to see what the running backs can do. Speaking of your summer, now that you do get a little bit of a break, what is in the future for you over the next 3 or 4 months?
Yeah, well, as you guys know, I'll be headed down to California. Right when the semester ends, I'll be down in California for 2 weeks. I'll actually come up the middle of the first week to walk for graduation, so that's exciting. But then I'll be back home for those weeks training with John Beck and getting the guys. And we're going to do something similar, hopefully get a bunch of the receivers and possibly tight ends down to California and train together down there for a couple weeks. And then the big deal that's going on right now for me is I'm taking the offseason captains. We have an opportunity to go to see Israel for a week this offseason in the middle of May. So I'm super excited for that. It's going to be I've been buzzing about that experience as soon as it, you know, kind of crossed my mind, and I can't believe it's actually happening. And so I'm so excited for that trip. And then that trip will be the last of my off break, and it'll be like, all right, let's go. And now we're in the off season training aspect, and it'll be, you know, summer workouts, obviously PRPs, and then that'll lead us into camp and stuff. So, you know, I'm trying to, you know, I'll do my best. One thing that I learned at a young age in high school, and that it's kind of echoed here, is like after a spring camp, is go take 2 weeks, don't touch a football. Like, continue to work out. I'll still be lifting and running and stuff like that, but I won't touch football for a couple weeks, get my finals done, and then I'll obviously pick it up for 2 weeks straight with John Beck down in Southern California, which I'm excited for. I always love working with him, and his team out there is legit, obviously. I mean, I don't have to say much. It's in the pudding. So, yeah, it's exciting. This new step, you know what I mean? It's, and like I said, it is a little bit nice to breathe a little bit. You know, we had, in December was all Alamo Bowl prep. Then it was 1 week I got to go home for. So I took half a breath and then come back for winter workouts. So it'll be nice to have some time.
Congratulations on graduating and walking, and a well-deserved vacation and experience in Israel awaits you. I do want to go back to something you said a few weeks ago when it was talking about the things that BYU is trying to prove. You know, what is it that the angle that you have taken this year that BYU is trying to prove? Because last year it was, hey, we were 5-7. We're going to shock everyone. Well, you're not sneaking up on anybody this year. So what is it that you're trying to prove this year?
Yeah, so, I mean, well, when you say prove, I hear like we prove things to ourselves. You know what I mean? We don't prove things to anybody else, because what anybody else thinks or says doesn't actually matter about what goes on in this building. So what we're proving to ourselves is that we're a dominant football team and that we're a top football team in the country. It's like when I think our highest ranking last year was 6. When we got up to 6, we were still fraudulent and we were still a little, you know, pissed about it. And so, like, we got to keep that same chip. And it's a big deal for these young guys to learn. Like, hey, it's not all sweet, man. I know you're used to coming off an 11-2 season, not a 5-7 like we did a year ago. And so it's really cool to see the older guys and the veterans, like, you know, me, Chase, Waylon, Keelan, like all these guys on the offensive side of the ball I'm talking, is like, we know what that feels like to go 5-7. So we're not going to let things slip. And to have some new leadership has been super fun, too. I mean, guys like Keanu Tanavasa, I mean, just a natural-born leader. The guy was almost an offseason captain, even though he technically wasn't eligible to be, which was unbelievable. And that was all voted on by the team. And so super cool to see his impact. You guys got to talk to him in the alumni game. I mean, I wish I could have said more about Keanu. Obviously, I was on the sideline doing the game, but I wish I could say more about that guy. He's been unbelievable, that veteran leadership. And his buddy from up north, Carson Ryan, has been unbelievable, too. So, you know, having those veteran guys who know what it feels like to come off of a bad year to get into a good year, we got to be able to carry that same mindset to keep the good rolling, because it's not all sweet when you're 5-7, let me tell you.
You know it better than most, no question. We'll finish with this. Other than Jake Retzlaff, who's the spring football MVP at BYU?
Oh, man. That's a great question. Spring football MVP. We've had a lot of guys show up and make differences. I'd say I could go by position, but I'd probably say Carson Ryan. And I'm talking offensive side of the ball here. Carson Ryan, defense side of the ball. there's a list of them. Those guys, Jack Kelly's been making plays, and obviously being a new face, Keanu Tanavasa is also up there too. But I'd say those guys that really stood out this spring, it's those three guys. Obviously those two being new faces, it was like, okay, what do they really got? And so eyes are on them, and we want to see how they produce. But to be able to see another offseason Jack Kelly's having, I mean, like, he's the only guy who picked me off all spring. Unfortunately, I threw one. Unlike last year, I didn't throw one, but this year I threw one, it was to Jack Kelly. And it's unbelievable. The guy's, like, making play. Like, there's one play Jack Kelly's dropping, like, the deep third, and I'm just like, what is he doing there right now? Why is he covering that spot? But Jack's unbelievable. His instincts, his mind for the game puts him in positions to succeed. It's not about his physical abilities are off the charts. We all know that. But his mental abilities put him in the positions to succeed. So it's super fun to go against him in practice. And I think it was like the next week he had something bugging, so he didn't go in team. And I was like, oh, thank God, I'm not going to throw a pick this week. But Jack's awesome. But same with those other two guys I mentioned, Carson and Keanu. Those guys are studs.
Great stuff. Future sideline reporter Jake Retzlaff, ladies and gentlemen.
You know it.
That would mean he's replacing you, Spencer, so you think about that. You can find more of our interviews with the football team at our BYU Sports Nation YouTube channel, including more from Jake, Isaiah Glasker, Keanu Tanavasa, and so many more.
After the break, BYU baseball picked up a big road win. Women's golf won their first event of the season. And BYU gymnastics is getting ready for NCAA regionals. Headlines are next on BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to Studio B alongside Dave McCann, Jason Shepard. Let's get to today's headlines.
AJ DeBonta, the big story last night at the McDonald's All-American Game, 17 points, 5 boards, led the West to a 105-92 win. DeBonta, the first BYU signee to play in the McDonald's All-American Game since Garner Meade's 25 years ago. AJ will join the show later in the week, talk about playing in that game, and his move to BYU where he'll enroll in spring semester. That's a couple of weeks away.
Yes, indeed. Switching gears to baseball, the Cougars beat Oral Roberts 12-10 on the road last night to improve to 15-11 on the season. Tate Gamble and Bryker Herdsman led the way for BYU, each 2 hits and 3 RBI. Up next, the Cougars begin a 3-game series in Fort Worth on Thursday against TCU.
Nice to see Easton Jones hit a home run last night. Softball came up short against Utah Valley, 6-4 at Miller Park last night, a Gail Miller Field. They trailed 6-0. Lily Owens, Haley Morrow, back-to-back home runs kind of get them back in it. Cougars look to bounce back. Tomorrow, they play the first of 3 games at Iowa State, back in Big 12 play.
BYU women's golf, led by MJ Bodegon, won their first event of the season at the USF Invitational in San Francisco. Bodegon took first place overall, earning her first career tournament win. She shot 1 over par over the 54-hole event, including just 1 bogey in the final round. Up next, BYU will compete in the Big 12 Championships in 2 weeks.
I thought you rolled your R's pretty good.
Thank you.
Nice job.
Thank you for noticing.
BYU gymnastics will face Utah State in a play-in round of the NCAA Utah Regional. That's later today in Salt Lake. The winner advances to face Utah, Denver, and Stanford tomorrow night. Today's competition starts at 4 Eastern on ESPN+.
And how about this? Former BYU pitcher Justin Sterner pitched an inning and a third for the A's in a 7-4 loss to the Cubs last night, which is unfortunate. Not what Justin did, but that the Cubs won. He didn't allow a hit and had 1 strikeout. For the season, Sterner, 3 appearances over 3 1/3, and has yet to give up a run or a hit, and he has 4 strikeouts.
I don't know why I had to go there. Let's just focus
on
Sterner.
You know why I had to go
Let's
there.
Let's just focus on Sterner. That was good. I got my Cubs socks on.
Do you really?
Yeah, we're playing the A's. I wish we could play the A's all year. Actually.
I wish I'd have known that. I'd have made fun of it earlier. All right, after the break, Delaney Gibb and Mariah Hudgens of BYU Women's Basketball will join us in Studio B to tell us why they're excited to be playing for Lee Kamard next season. This is BYU Sports Nation. Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation, live from Studio B alongside Dave McCann, Jason Shepard with you, and we are so happy. My people are here. We've got BYU women's basketball in the house, Delaney Gibb and Mariah Hudgens joining us here in Studio B. Welcome, guys. Yeah,
thanks for having us.
Thank
Good
you.
To have you here.
Well, not a lot going on, right, really? In the last couple of weeks? Nothing at all. What's been keeping you guys busy?
Yeah, just trying to stay on top of school, finishing strong, and basketball, just, yeah. Yeah. I'm good. The basics.
Yeah. The basics. Okay, well, let's go to one of the basics. So Lee Kumard's the new coach. A coaching change can be so disruptive to a program, yet sometimes it creates an energy that takes the program where it hasn't been able to go. So what are you going to do, Delaney, to make sure it's the latter moving forward? What can you two do?
Yeah, I mean, I think having Lee as our new head coach is a great first step. He's brought in a lot of energy, new energy for this team and program, and he's talked a lot about excellence, which I really like. And I think moving forward, just remembering we need to be excellent in everything that we do. So that includes school. We're at BYU, which is, you know, we try to strive for excellence in everything that we do.
Yeah, I think just to add on to that, just it starts with us. Like, obviously, we're going to have our freshmen coming in, and we are going to have transfers. So I think just making sure that our core group is just all on the same page, and we're all ready to kind of make some noise in the Big 12 this upcoming year.
I know Lee had mentioned in his introductory press conference that, you know, he mentioned some of the things that he wants to bring in his message to you, and I know that he talked to you guys as a team before he went up to the podium. What is it about his personality that people gravitate to? Because I don't know anybody that doesn't like Lee Kumard. What is it about his personality for both of you guys?
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with that statement. I think his personality is awesome. I think he definitely draws a lot of people in with just his goofiness and just kind of how well he connects with us players and obviously other people on staff. I know for myself, I think he exemplifies a lot of who I try to be as a player, just having a lot of passion and joy. And I think kind of having a leader who is exemplifying that makes us all want to be kind of like that and show that on the court.
And Delaney, he was instrumental in your recruiting. I mean, I saw him at games. As we were watching you play, he was always there in his blue jacket. What's your connection with him, and how can he help you be better?
Yeah, I mean, I've known Lee. I remember going to BYU camps when I was really little, and Lee was always there. And then during the recruiting process, he was you know, the number one guy in my recruitment process. And I feel like he just forms really genuine relationships. And so I really felt like, you know, like he's family to me now at this point. I've known him for so many years, and I can't wait to just extend our relationship and get to know him closer now as our head coach. But I think, like, kind of what Mariah said, just, you know, he's such a great example. On the basketball court, you know, he has so much passion and joy, and you can just tell that he really cares for all of our players and staff and support staff. And so it's really easy to play for someone when you know that they genuinely care for you, and, you know, he's just such a great guy.
You guys both finished up your first season with BYU, and I know, Mariah, your season was cut short due to an injury, but when you look back on your first year at BYU, what do you take from that you can use going into year two on the floor? We'll start with you, Delaney.
Ooh. Honestly, I think looking into next year, obviously we want to win more games. We want to be more successful, and I think that starts now with hard work and dedication and visualizing things. So Lee's communicated with me a lot, just like, you know, whatever your goals are, visualize that. See it through, and then obviously there's preparation and hard work that's going to help with that. So I think going into the season, just trying to make an impact again in my sophomore season, working hard and, you know, never giving up on dreams. I never thought that I would even be in this position. So I'm just so grateful and ready to try and have a great sophomore season.
Yeah. Mariah, you're healthy, so I know that's one of the big things that you're really happy about.
Yeah, I'm super happy. I just got finally cleared this past month to be able to start doing things again, so it's nice to be able to play basketball. But just moving into, I mean, it's going to be my fourth season of college basketball this upcoming year, so I think just wanting to bring a lot of leadership to this group, and just kind of wanting to make sure that we're staying on the same page this year. I think that's going to be a big part of our success, and I mean, I, like myself as a player, I love to play with a lot of passion and competitiveness, and I know that's something I'm always going to bring to this team, no matter win or lose, and or even how I'm playing. I think just wanting to help bring this program to an elevated status.
This team missed your toughness, didn't they? Didn't you miss your because you're a tough player. You were, and that's why you came here. And so the fact that you're healthy, you're almost like a portal addition again for the second year, right?
Yeah.
What can she bring to the team?
Yeah, I mean, I loved playing with Mariah. I was so sad when, you know, obviously dealing with injuries is so tough. But she just plays with so much passion, and you can tell that, like, she is going to do whatever it takes to win. You know, like, so unselfish, is just wanting to put the team, you know, just help the team with however she can.
So, Big 12 Rookie of the Year. Nice job.
Thank you.
But it comes in a season where you probably lost more games than you have at any time in your life. Yeah. So, how did you balance that?
Yeah, it was really hard.
Yeah.
It was really frustrating because I really hate losing. And so, honestly, it was really motivating. Just, you know, like, I never stopped getting in the gym because there was never that point where I felt like we were being really successful. It was always, I'm frustrated, we're losing games, and I don't know, you know, what else can I do? So I was just always trying to find other ways to help our team and, you know, get in the gym, work on my craft, and get better. So I think going into this upcoming season, I think a lot of us feel the same. Like, we don't want to do that again.
Yeah.
So we're all in the gym. We're all going to do whatever it takes. We're going to put in the work, and we're going to be ready for next year.
Well, and Mariah, I mean, I know Coach Kamard talked about, you know, he was asked about what's your message to BYU fans about this program moving forward. As a player, what's the message from the players to the fans about the direction that this program's going?
I think the big thing would just be the excellence aspect that Coach Lee talked about. I think all of us, down from our managers, our practice players, us players, and our staff, we want to raise the bar. And I know that that starts with our off-season work. Like, we're going to move into spring workouts soon. So just making sure that we're all on the same page and we are raising the bar and bringing excellence back to BYU women's basketball.
In the spirit of change, you kind of went through a big change in a short amount of time since your arrival at BYU.
Yeah.
I know you weren't on the field, on the court where you wanted to be, but in your spiritual life, a significant development.
Yeah. So I was baptized like a little over a month ago. So, yeah, it's been a joy. I think there's been a lot of ups and downs with it. I think prior to getting baptized, I was really hopeful that, like, it was just going to be all sunshine and rainbows now, which I've learned that's not the case. But I think just trying to find the joy and success in my decision and just leaning on all the people who love and care for me, I think that's been a big help.
I'm sure this was a good teacher right here.
How bright is the future for BYU women's basketball? How excited are you for the direction that it's going?
I'm super excited. I mean, I think we have a great core group that's returning, and we're all, you know, like, great athletes, but great people, and we all want the same thing. And I think we're all willing to, you know, put in the work and connect with each other and build relationships so that we are successful next season. I mean, to anyone who's a women's basketball fan, I think next season we're going to be really fun to watch. And I just, you know, I think with Lee as our head coach, he has a great coaching style, and I think we're going to be playing fast and exciting and shooting lots of threes, which, I mean, that's what everyone wants to watch. Yeah. So,
well, guys, we appreciate you coming in. It's always good to talk to you guys. Looking forward to next season already. And look, we all know it gets here before we know it. But we're gonna give you some BYU Sports Nation karma for the off season.
Off season karma.
Yeah, we're gonna give you some off season karma. You can take that into the off season as you guys ramp things up and get ready for next year. But thanks for stopping by. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having us.
Proud of both of you. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, BYUSN.com for all our interviews. If you want to see more, these two and their teammates and all over Cougar Nation, great student athletes on campus. All of our work at BYUSN.com.
Absolutely. Where do you believe A.J. DeBonsa will impact BYU basketball the most? More responses to our question of the day after this. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
All right, our question of the day, where will A.J. DeBonsa impact BYU basketball the most? Our Elite Voice of the Day, presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated, comes on X from Brad. Says it's a top-to-bottom impact, credibility of the program, recruiting, deep tournament runs, perception of the school, crowd hype, Cougar tail sales, all of the above, I agree.
They all go up.
All right, today's Rise and Shout-Out is presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
BYU Gymnastics team, good luck at the regionals later today, and happy birthday to my mother.
All right, thanks to our guests today, Jake Retzloff, Delaney Gibb, and Mariah Hudgens. For Dave, I'm Jason. BYUSN back at it tomorrow, noon Eastern. Go Cougs.